Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Do you want to know why Philip thinks that they are really good coaches? Kyle Shanahan and Steve Kerr?
Because they are, Mark.
And because he's able to remove his emotions from it. That's it. He's not a fan of it. And I don't know if all the fans here in the Bay know this, but like if you get outside of our area, everybody thinks these are phenomenal coaches. Everybody does. I know there was everybody's got that one video of Brandon Jennings saying, "Got to fire Steve Kerr." Cool, that's one person. So you have one. There's a party of one now in the national media that agrees on that point. But yeah, if you remove your emotions from it, because largely when it's like, oh, Kyle Shanahan is not a good coach, you'll point to like a game or two games and you go, not a good coach, which is like, that's crazy to me. We've had 8 years of games. You're going to grab one? You're going to grab one decision in one game? That's all. I'm really trying to chase this. I'd love to know what is it, because I do think he's clearly one of the number one answers on the board when you ask yourself, how did the 49ers do this year? No, not by himself. But, like, if he's not a good coach, then how is this all functioning the way that it does? Like, oh, he's terrible at drafting. He's terrible late in games. Okay, well, then how did they get good players? How did they erase a 24-7 deficit in the NFC title game? How do you not think that's a big game? How? Like, how is this all working? If he and Robert and John are not doing a lot more good job than bad job.
Especially when you talk about how they're the most injured team since he took over.
Clearly.
So they're the most injured, and you know, you've won more games than you've lost, and you've been to four conference championship games and all the rest of it. And so, like, what's the one common thread through all of it? And it's Shanahan. It's also Lynch and, you know, some of the staff members as well. But you can't look at the team and say, well, they've got all this talent and then not give him credit, or look at it and say they have no talent and then not also give him credit. And that's the thing about, you know, Shanahan and Kerr. Like, the one through line for Kerr is Steph Curry, sure. And we may never see Steve Kerr without Steph Curry, but with Steph and Steve together and Draymond and Clay, whatever, they've won four titles and they've been to six NBA finals. So that's got to count for all of them, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and by the way, do you remember, because this gets this phrase gets uttered a lot. I uttered it last week. I think I said to TJ Houshmandzadeh, you got Robert Saleh and this defense is doing it with smoke and mirrors. You remember what he said? He immediately goes, it's not smoke and mirrors. It's not. I know it feels that way because it looks a little different every week. The personnel is different every week. Sometimes, don't forget the Carolina game. The defense won that football game. Brock was really bad in that football game. And then you'll have other games, Arizona, and what you've seen them do recently where the offense is really humming. Tennessee last week, defense not a banner day. But so it feels like smoke and mirrors, but maybe when it comes to sports, smoke and mirrors doesn't actually really exist. And I lean more that way, honestly, because it is professional sports. And even the teams that we make fun of are professional sports teams.
Right.
It exposes everything that you're not doing well when you play in these leagues. Because as we watch every week, we get surprised every week. Every Sunday we sit down and we go, can you believe the blank beat the blank? And it happens every single week because your weaknesses and your flaws, they get exposed. So how would you then be able to go through a year 10-4 on smoke and mirrors? even if you want to be like, ooh, schedule Sam, they had an easy schedule. Well, if they had an easy schedule, if we all agree that all four losses were against good teams, and even if the other 10 games were all easy, even though they're not, because they play the Rams and the Seahawks right. and stuff like that. But even if they were, if you won all of them, doesn't that suggest that you're really good?
You're not
like,
one of them.
You did really good to win all those games.
Right, because you talked about the Giants and the Raiders coming up in the number one pick loser bowl. Right, you're talking about 2-13 against 2-13. So those teams, even though they're really bad, they beat two other teams. Each of them, they've won two games, so it's not like you're talking about a high school team going up against Alabama, for example. You're looking at 32 teams in the NFL, and they're all paid professionals, so yeah, the Niners' schedule this year, sure, it's been easier than what you would have expected, and although it turns out that the Chicago game coming up is tougher than you thought, and Seattle twice, they're 12-3, the Rams twice, they're 11-4, Jacksonville 11-4, so the schedule...
Houston 10-5.
Thank you. The schedule is actually going to look a little bit tougher than what it looked like going into the year, and yet, like we talked about before, there's no bad losses in there, and if you want to go all the way back, you beat Seattle in the opener, on the road, by the way, tough to do, and you beat the Rams on the road on a short week. And if you lose both of those and you are now sitting at 8-6, well, tonight's kind of a must win. It'd be a double must win.
Yeah. Half of the games this year are against either playoff teams or teams that are still very much in the hunt.
Half. Yep.
And half are against teams that have been eliminated.
And that's two Rams, and it's Carolina, it's Tampa.
Jacksonville, Houston. Did you mention Carolina already?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's your seven. It doesn't count the second Seattle, and it doesn't count Chicago and Indy.
Exactly.
So, actually, when we get to the end of your 17 games, 10 of them are against either playoff teams or teams that are contending into Christmas.
Right.
Seven of them are against teams that are completely eliminated at this hour.
Which is fine, and that's the nature of the last place schedule.
Right, but it's not like a bananas... You know what I mean?
By comparison, the Patriots schedule, they have six teams that are either playoff teams or in the hunt for the playoffs, and three of those six include the Panthers, the Bucks, and the Ravens.
And the Ravens, right. Now, the Patriots get to play the Bills twice. And outside of that, as it has spun, you know, you would never look before the year and be like, oh, a trip to Baltimore in December, that's easy. And it wasn't. But Baltimore is not what they were, kind of cracked up to be. The Patriots played Pittsburgh early, but lost to them. They beat Buffalo.
They lost to the Raiders in the opener.
I lost to the Raiders. Saints, Titans, Browns, Falcons, Jets twice, New York Giants. No question the Patriots' schedule has been easier than the Niners. No question.
As luck would have it, and part of that is because the Jets have been, dreadful and that Miami took a step back, but also they had the last place schedule, same as Chicago, by the way. And
a much weaker division.
Right, and you have to take advantage of that when you get it, and the Niners are.
Yeah. Let's keep going. Doug in Wichita. Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling.
Good. Hey, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Good evening. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, to you too.
Happy New Year if I don't talk to you guys again. Hey, so the question you asked earlier was, how did we get here at this point in the season? And I told the guy that answers for us, and man, we got here by playing next man up. Our defense is what it is. And I was listening to you guys talk about smoke and mirrors, and I'm like, I think they're game planning for particular games. Hey, this team's good at this. We really got to focus on taking this out and so on and so forth, which may be a little bit of every game. But before all our guys went down and even in our championship runs, it seemed like we were imposing what we want to do on defense no matter who the opponent is. Well, this year it seems different because we've had to, bring in so many different faces and losing the big men, Warner, Bosa, and whoever else has gone down this year. You start game planning specifically for the game instead of saying, I'm a boxer, I'm a knockout artist, I'm looking for your chin every play. We're coming in saying, okay, this is what you like to do, this is what we'll focus on then. And then our offense is on the upswing, and I know we haven't had the hardest schedule, but, man, it's the NFL. It is the NFL, Every week is a dogfight. I don't care. Cleveland almost made Buffalo look like, you know, St. Mary's yesterday. If they had won, if Cleveland had won, everybody would be talking about how trash Josh Allen really is. And we know that's not true. But we do know Cleveland's got a defense that is not to be trifled with. And that's just what it is, man. It's the NFL. This is how we got here. Next man up. And, yes, Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the year. I don't care nothing about New England. I don't care nothing about Denver. They're great. Don't get me wrong. But Shanahan and Saleh and company have put it up when so many teams would have folded by week 7.
Yeah, Doug, it's a great call. Yeah, thank you so much. I wonder if there is a path to Kyle actually winning the award. What if they do get the one seed? What if they went out? They get
then
the one seed.
There's a path. I mean, he would jump over McDonald from Seattle.
For sure. Would he jump Vrabel? Would he jump Liam Cohen?
That's the tougher ones, I think. And, you know, Vrabel winning yesterday was big in prime time. And so I don't know if he can get all the way up there. And, you know, part of it is you don't get the same respect because you've got McCaffrey and Kittle and you've got Trent and you're kind of always good.
Yeah. Monster Monday presented by Merit America. Visit them at meritamerica.org/super. All right. 888-957-9570. How did the Niners go 10-4? How did they get to the playoffs already before Christmas? How would you answer that? 888-957-9570. Plus, we'll start to transition to Warriors a little bit. Got a Dubs Magic game tonight, trying to build on what the Warriors did on Saturday night. And I'd love to dive into a little bit of a dynamic that I noticed being at the game on Saturday night. So we'll launch into that coming up next. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
What's the question? I think you just answer your own question. You're welcome. If that helps answer your question better. Yes.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
There is one quarterback and one quarterback alone who clearly has the X on the chest, the target on the back, all of the pressure when we get to the NFL playoffs. And his name is not Brock Purdy.
No?
No.
No.
Brock Purdy.
It's not Brock Purdy. It's Josh Allen. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen, completely. I mean, if you give Josh Allen a playoff that does not include Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow.
Right.
Like, you don't have any of them even in it?
No.
And
no Tyrod.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Taylor?
Exactly.
No Geno Smith?
I mean, honestly.
No Justin Fields?
Uh-huh.
If it's stacking up to be old man Aaron, young guys Drake May and Bo Nix, and then Trevor Lawrence, C.J. Stroud, and Justin Herbert? Herbert's actually having a really good year. Justin Herbert's a really, really good player. But anyway, if that's how it stacks up, then yeah, Josh Allen is going to have all of the pressure in the world. I don't know that that really exists over on the NFC side. I really don't. Matthew Stafford is going to go in as the favorite and is the MVP favorite right now.
Right.
But he already has a ring. He already has a ring, so it doesn't vibe the same way in terms of pressure. Jalen Hurts will be there, already has a ring.
Yep.
Caleb Williams, you're a baby.
Yep.
Jordan Love, relatively, in some ways, along with Brock Purdy, you're still just kind of coming out of babyhood. And you guys have proven that you'll contend for the playoffs most of the time.
Has his contract actually kicked in, Jordan Love's?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
He was pre-Brock.
Oh, then,
he sat for so long. And then Darnold and whoever comes out of the South, nobody's really expecting anything out of you.
And, I mean, kind of Baker, but I think that, you know, it's Tampa and, you know, he is yet to really go on that run. And, you know, Bryce Young, same thing. He's still a pup.
Yeah. I mean, to me, if there was a QB in the NFC who would have all the pressure on him.
Stafford.
It would be Jared Goff, but he's not going to make it.
Yeah, maybe not.
He's not going to make it. It's not their fault. But, I mean, this is another thing that is a feather in the cap. And I won't point to one person. Everybody involved. Kyle Shanahan, sure. Brock Purdy, you bet. Mac Jones, absolutely. You all kept it together in the face of what all of the other quarterbacks who were kind of in the same situation didn't. They didn't. Hey, Dak, how's your defense?
Boy.
Oh, it's awful, so we missed the playoffs. Hey, Jared Goff, how's your defense? It's all hurt, so we missed the playoffs. Joe Burrow, how's your defense? Well, I'm questioning football. Patrick Mahomes, how's your defense? Well, not as good as it was last year. Lamar Jackson, how's your defense? How's your backup? Unable to hold it together.
How's your back holding up?
Exactly. But 49ers, how's your defense? Well, they're young and struggling, but we figured it out. And we still won most of the games anyway.
Right, and we figured it out by realizing that the way we win with Shanahan is to run the ball. And this year, when they run it more than 30 times, they don't lose. They're 8-0 this year when they run it more than 30 times. And I know part of that is you lead late, you run it more. But even though they haven't run it that effectively, they run it well enough to where they're not in a lot of second and terrible and third and long. And so at that point, you're able to use McCaffrey as a weapon, as a receiver, and Kittle and all the rest of it.
I mean, that's part of what I find to be maybe the most surprising thing of all of this. If you, like, we always do this, right? If you told me at the beginning of the season, right, no Fred, no Nick, blah, 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 and we go, but you're 10-4, I would have called you crazy. Well, let's double back and do double crazy. Because if you had told me you'd be able to achieve that while also not really being able to run the ball at a high level or at a high yards per carry, where do they sit in the NFL in terms of yards per carry? 49ers. I
DFL, here. Mark.
DFL?
Dead.
Really? I knew they were down there.
Last. Yards per attempt, okay. They're at 3.5. The Raiders are 31st at 3.6.
Okay, and what have you all, this is a big fantasy football thing, all of you Ashton Ginty fantasy owners, who, by the way, finally had a pop at the right time, because I think he put up like 38 points yesterday. But all year, the Raiders, everybody's been like, Genty can't even get the ball before someone is sitting on it.
Yep.
They average more per carry than the Niners.
Point one more. But
still.
Yes. Even if you look at like total yards rushing, the Niners are 28th. They're ahead of, and just tell me what you think of these teams.
Okay.
They're ahead of Tennessee, New Orleans,
yep,
the Bengals,
right,
and the Raiders. Right. And that's in total yards, and the Niners will go up. They'll pass the Browns tonight if they get 44 yards. If they get 43 or 53, they'll pass the Cardinals. They might climb up above Pittsburgh, but you're getting the theme here. Like the other teams that are down there with you, Arizona, Cleveland, Tennessee, New Orleans, the Bengals, and the Raiders, you're bad.
Yep.
You're bad.
So I think it feeds the question that we're asking of how did they do this? How did they do this? Just think, it's not just the injuries. They almost never intercept the ball. They almost never sack the other quarterback. They almost never run the ball well. So how did they do it? How did they do it? Like,
it's a great question.
Special teams has been really good. The defense has kind of been bendy, don't breaky, I guess.
Yep.
The passing game has been strong. The passing game has been strong. But even that, not like overwhelmingly.
They were like early on when Mac was there, when Brock was out, they were number one in like passing yards, which is weird for a Shanahan team. And even now, like, net yards per attempt, they're eighth. They're tied with Buffalo at 7 yards per attempt. The answer I'll give you, I think, is really McCaffrey-centric, and that's the fact that they have been so good in the red zone. You get in the red zone, you score, and the other team gets in the red zone, and a lot of times you hold them out.
Yep.
And that's been, you know, the difference between this year and last year, and I'm just looking at their offense. This year they are 63% red zone, and last year they were 57. And, you know, that one drop right there is pretty significant, I think.
I know somebody who works with the Niners who said to me after the game against Seattle, we had no business winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, like, it popped into my head today because I go, I wonder if anybody said that to each other last night. As I hope somewhere in a hotel room, I hope somebody pops some champagne and, like, we made the playoffs.
Right.
Like, not the players, but, like, I hope some front office people are like, we made the playoffs. Let's have a glass. And do you think they looked at each other and went, how the hell do we do this? We got no business. Based on all of these numbers that I'm trying, you know what I mean? What if I asked it a different way? What are the Niners good at? What are they really good at? I don't even know how to answer it. Kicking field goals?
I mean, even that,
what are they good at? Winning?
They're good at winning. Good at yes, Mark.
Like, honestly, this is it really is. It's quite a mystery to me how this looks the way it does.
It's a little bit of a mystery, and I mean, we can go through the autopsy of every single game, and it comes down to, for me, a couple of games in particular, and it's the Ram game and it's the Seattle game. Like, the Seattle game, you got a Tonjes touchdown, and then you got a Nick Bosa, remember him? Yep. A shrug, mm-hmm. a sack fumble recovery all by Nick. In the Ram game, you got a punch out at the 1 yard line, and then your boy McVegas, went for it in overtime, and you got another stop. So this year for me has been a lot like last year, except when those plays were in the balance last year, you didn't make them, and this year you made them. So if you don't beat Seattle in the opener, excusable on the road. If you don't beat the Rams on a Thursday night down there, excusable. The Rams are really good. You're 8-6, and so we think a lot differently about this year.
Right, but you still would be in the 7 seed.
At 8-6.
You wouldn't have clinched yet.
Right.
But you'd be in. You would stand right now as in a playoff spot, even if they lost those two games. So, you know, there's no way to slice this and not say the 49ers are one of the, I guess you'd call it, is it six elite teams in the NFC? Is it six? It's probably six, right?
You think?
Eagles, yeah. Bears, Packers, and then the three NFC West teams. I mean, I don't know if you would. People want to put Detroit in there. I guess, okay. But, I mean, they're 8-7. That's not a, you know, I think they're an elite offensive team.
Right. And, I mean, their path to get in would have to be they win two and the Packers lose,
that's
right?
That's correct. So the Packers have to lose both.
Right.
And now, it feels momentarily possible because I don't know what's going on with the Packers quarterback situation.
Yep.
I don't know if they've got a quarterback for the next 2 weeks.
They'll find one.
Somebody will play.
Maybe Philip Rivers' dad is available. I don't know. A great grandpa.
Nick and Martinez on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling.
What's up, Willard and Dibs? Hey, man, great show. Love you guys. I will tell you this. Special teams, you got it. You have to hand it to them. And you named it, man. The Moody trade or getting rid of him. DeNiro's been great, not just him, but just special teams in general, man. They stepped it up, and we've needed it for a while. And it's came down to the wire with those games and special teams coming through. But I'll give you this. I'll say this to you guys. It's Robert Saleh, without a doubt. I know that Kyle, and we're giving him his flowers. I know offense, he knows that. But having Robert Saleh, no other coach could do what he's doing right now. I know he could do great things as a head coach, and I'm going to put a spin on this in a little bit. But having him back home as just a DC, man, his connection, I could only imagine if Fred and Bosa were on that field with him, it would be a completely different story. We'd be it's scary. But I will say this. To that duo, as far as Robert Saleh goes and Shanahan, if Robert leaves and gets a Super Bowl before Shanahan, what if he leaves, then there you go. The answer is right there. The proof is in the pudding. That's my answer to you guys. I love you guys. I'll continue to listen. Let's go Niners. Wake up, Bay Area.
Appreciate it, Nick. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're closing in on a big one. It's interesting. Look, I'm in agreement about all the things that Robert Saleh has added. It's quite honestly rather obvious. But the way that Nick said it to me pushes it maybe a touch too hard. The whole idea of, like, at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's all about Saleh. And I guess you could make that case if what you're talking about, sort of the way we vote for Coach of the Year, which is to say they are, there's a bigger gap between what they are and what we thought they were going to be, as opposed to the opposite. Like, if we want to get into the ratings and rankings and numbers and all of that, the Niners' offense is performing way better than their defense.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I think it's rather obvious why, but it's interesting that people will go, it's definitely Robert Saleh, when the offense is performing better than the defense is.
And it's always interesting when you, like, get everything boiled down to just that one thing. Is it Saleh or is it Shanahan? Well, Robert Saleh definitely has done great with the defense, but was it he who told Alfred Collins to, you know, go ahead and try to punch the ball out on the goal line? Here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and punch for the football at the 1 yard line. That was a player making a play. And you always say this, like, coaches coach and they put their players in a spot to where they go out there and they make plays. And, you know, Shanahan similarly doesn't get credit for the Jake Tonjes touchdown, where I'm sure he didn't tell Brock, you know, Brock, I want you to, you know, throw it up and stuff and, like, throw it as high as you can and, you know, throw it to a guy who never really catches the ball and just go ahead and throw that up there and let him go up there and get that. So it's the players who made those plays. Now, Saleh has definitely done a lot with less and Shanahan's done a lot with a little bit more. But the other point is Mac Jones. Like, yeah, you went out and you got Mac Jones and you coached him up from March all the way till September. And it's like, oh boy, we need you. And he goes out there and he wins games, including the game at LA on a Thursday night. So yeah, it's Shanahan, it's Saleh, but for me, it's the players who've done it.
Let's keep going. 888-957-9570. How did the Niners do this? They are already in the playoffs and getting ready to continue to bolster their scenario tonight. Mitch in New Jersey is next up. Hi, Mitch. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how we doing? Merry Christmas to you both.
Yeah, to you as well, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy.
I remember when I saw that was so funny. So you did that. You imitated me. You had it knocked on. You had it spot on when you did the imitation with the drop ball. But I want to say that 49ers, they lose to a grandpa like me. They lose to a grandpa. We're in trouble. But I think Colts are really, they're not gonna. I don't see them winning this game. We're defense has been okay with no pass rush, no Bosa, and we got the better quarterback. I mean, of course, at age, but running backs are even, and I think they wide receiver they have Michael Pittman, but somehow we'll pull it out. We've been doing miracles the whole year. Thank you for letting me go on. And you guys have a nice Halloween.
All right.
Thank you, Mitch.
You too.
And thank you for the praise.
Yeah.
I was doing my Mitch in Jersey last week. And you banned me? Am I banned?
Apparently not anymore.
No, he's unbanned. And I guess I kind of opened up the Pandora's box of Mitch in Jersey.
I don't know. I didn't know Mitch was still tuned in.
I didn't.
Thanks, Mitch.
I didn't know that either. He must. I'm on the Odyssey app. And am I banned? They banned me?
No. Definitely not.
I'm unbanned? Am I rebanned? Is there a ban?
Well, that's the TBD. Yeah. By the way, though, this whole, like, don't lose to a grandpa thing, I get it. He's played one football game since he came back, and the current NFC one seed at their own stadium needed a long field goal in order to win the game, essentially, at the almost at the very, very end.
They needed all the field goals.
Yep.
And I started Sam Darnold on my fantasy team, rest in peace, my fantasy team, but they had no touchdowns. They needed all the field goals, all six of them, to beat Phillip Rivers. And I mean, just seeing him in the blue, the all blue
uniform.
Yeah, they're
wearing the all blues, and it's not very flattering.
Good Lord. Like, I don't. Again, I am not a slender man, so I can say
this. But you're also not in the NFL.
Right. But if I was in the NFL and I came back after 5 years, I would hope that I wouldn't have gained as many LBs as PR.
Please don't body shame. It's Christmas time, and there are a lot of free treats at the office.
Fat?
Yeah. He might have had some Rice Krispie treats with the red and green sprinkles on them. Robert Saleh is standing next to Philip Rivers. And ask yourself which one looks like a football player.
Robert Saleh.
Not Philip Rivers.
Exactly.
Let's go to Filmo Mike, who is on the line. Filmo!
Hey, hey.
What's up?
Poppin'? How y'all doing?
Pretty good, man.
Good.
Happy holidays to you. Yes.
Hanukkah, all that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good stuff, man.
All of it.
Make sure you watch your back for the holiday season. But listen, man, I'm sick of people talking about the schedule. That's kind of lame. Reason being, football is so different. Yeah, okay, last year was last year. This year is this year. And like you guys have already stated, we played a lot of good teams. Stop talking about the schedule. Hey, I'm going to tell you like this. Beginning of the year, Caleb Williams, you know, he liked to wear nail polish and all. I'm not talking about that, but he does wear nail polish. It's kind of funny to me. And he was slaying that thing yesterday, two, 3 days ago. I forgot it was even football on. I turned on the TV. Caleb Williams had a horrible first half. But you know what he did? He bounced back in the second half. Who would have thought that, right? Last year, earlier this year. So that schedule argument is very lame. In football, you can't do a schedule argument. Only way you could do that, end of the season, somebody's trying to get the number one pick. But for the most part, you never know who's going to be good, who's going to be great, average, or whatever. You think that team is going to be whatever. The Saints, how many teams the Saints lost to? They Saints got like 4 or 5 wins, and every win is like, we didn't think that they were going to beat us, or the team going in was favored. So that schedule argument is so lame. And whoever says, I'm going to say this, whoever says Kyle Shanahan cannot coach, stop smoking 1979, 1980 rocks. You smoking the rocks before crack was even really out like that. You smoking them early rocks. Stop it.
You smoking them early rocks before the rock was really the rock, Filmo.
Filmo.
I love that.
Just call whenever. Filmo Mike.
That 1979, 1980 crack.
Oh, I love what he said, though, also. I like, to me, maybe in college football, maybe, where things get completely slanted out of control and Alabama's playing the Citadel for Thanksgiving and you really are essentially playing teams that are in a totally different league. But in professional sports, schedule arguments are stupid. My opinion, I mean, I heard people do it to Jimmy Butler's Warriors last year. Oh, why Jimmy Butler came and they were really good. Oh, well, they had a soft schedule. What are you talking about? The schedule for all teams at some points is always soft. The way you win games is by beating the crappy teams. That's how you do it.
That's what good teams do.
Nobody just rolls through all the good. I mean, maybe the Thunder, right? But like nobody just wins all of the games. You try to win. When you play another hard team, you try to grind one out. You get some, you don't get some, and then you wipe up on the ones that are weakened, which, as Filmo points out, you don't always do.
No.
The Saints have beaten 5 teams this year.
That's right.
One in every 3 times they play, they win.
And the Niners kind of had to dig a little bit deep to win that game. I mean, New Orleans had the ball with a chance to go out there and beat you. So a couple things about the schedule. One, the schedule conversation is not, it's not a joke. It's nuanced. Last year, the Niners had an unbelievable rest disadvantage, which was a thing. So when you look at the schedule, it's not only the opponents, it's about when those games are and what the rest advantage or disadvantage is. And then the other part of it too is, when you play these teams, you're facing Indy tonight, and they don't have Daniel Jones. And DeForest Buckner's fighting to come back, and they lost both their corners. If you would have played them in October, different game.
Yeah, you would have had trouble. Yep. No doubt about it. All right, hey, Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Still unbeaten on the fight against autism are the Warriors this year. 17 three-pointers Saturday against the Suns. Will Richard leading the way. Perfect 4 for 4. Steph had 4 as well and a couple apiece for Jimmy and Pods. They led the way, and that is the 29th donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you'd like to get involved and make a donation yourself, go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. 888-957-9570. How the heck did the 49ers get here? Plus, we'll transition to Warriors shortly. Nick Friedell is going to join us not too far around the corner. Warriors hosting the Magic tonight at 7. Warriors live with Grandy at 6. Presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage. Brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.